T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's time for Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s. Phony Michelle. I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career. Chris Frail. So, you know, shout out to Charles Manson.
Next star here at WEEI, that, of course, is Mark with a C, James.
I don't get paid to care what you think. I get paid to tell you what I think.
Mark effing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell, because he's actually Don Farrell without a ring.
And I think one minute.
Exactly.
So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Byrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now. On Sports Radio WEEI.
A team that hires a minority head coach would move up 6 spots in the 3rd round of the draft prior to that coach's 2nd season. A team would move up 10 spots in the 3rd round for hiring a person of color as its GM. And if the head coach and GM positions are filled with a minority candidate in the same year, a team could actually move from the top of the 3rd round to the middle of the 2nd round.
This is sad, Tone, that they would have to incentivize it in such an obvious way that they can't pull themselves together and simply interview and hire qualified black people. Are you serious? What is this, 1947?
In effect, what this new proposal does, it is telling people like myself who have interviewed for high-ranking positions, it's not just about your competency. That's not really, it's not about that. It's really about whether or not there's something else that would make us move on this kind of situation. And quite honestly, that is something that's insulting.
Oh, Jericho. You know, it's... You know, you don't hear La Champion, Chris Jericho, complaining. He's going to work every week. I think... my name is Mark James. It's Mark with a C, James. I think probably the text of the day. See if you can top this from the 781. I work at a pharmacy, one of the number of places to contract the disease, and I only bring home $350 a week. If pharmacies close, people die. But our pay isn't reflected that way. But we still, he put in all capital letters, we still have to show up. These players are being, and I'll just say wussies. He didn't put wussies, but you can imagine the word that rhymes with it. And I agree with that text. You're absolutely correct. And thank you for literally putting your life on the line working in a pharmacy. I haven't mentioned them enough as well either. Hospitals, medical facilities, pharmacies, grocery stores, gas stations, pet stores, which are considered essential, that you're putting your lives on the line. You're really putting your lives on the line. Don't forget the director of The Last Dance, Jason, here joining me at the top of next hour at noon. We'll get to him. That should be very fun. Also wanted to get to this, the NFL proposal, which is something that made my head spin like Linda Blair in The Exorcist the other night. This is going to be voted on in 48 to 53 hours. Incentives on an NFL proposal. And I'll get to your calls, too, on Blake Snell and Corona, whatever you want to get to, at 617-779-7937. So this ridiculously stupid proposal that Roger Goodell's in favor for, so no surprise there. He was doing so well. A team will move up 6 spots in the third round for hiring a minority head coach. They'll move up 10 spots in the third round for hiring a minority GM. And here's the double bonus. They'll move up 16 spots if the head coach and GM positions are filled with minority candidates in the same year. So basically, the NFL is saying, we're going to let you move up in a good round, a third round, which is a really, you know, that's certainly, it's a top 100 player in the draft. If you hire someone of color, that's what we're going to do. Instead of making it a meritocracy, which is what sports usually is, on the field, but because maybe the NFL is sort of this lily white billionaire country club, that we're going to basically put this carrot out there. Now, it's going to take 24 of 32 teams to vote it. I'm hoping it will be shot down. You know, the NFL has their antennas up and it's being panned by white people, black people, Hispanics, every ethnicity that you can imagine. It's just insulting. It's degrading and demeaning towards African Americans. Because you're basically saying to one of the 32 teams that you're only going to hire them if they'll move up in the third round. So for someone like Brian Flores, Mike Tomlin, Chris Greer, who's the GM of the Dolphins, they've got to feel really good because they were hired on their own merit, which is the way it should be. I can't tell you the racial overtones that are on this, which are absolutely nauseating and disgusting. And someone said it yesterday. We talked about it on my show yesterday that the NFL's heart is in the right place, but their ideas are completely wrong. And I think that's a nice way of putting it, other than inferring that what Michael Wilbon said. What is this, 1947? I mean, I thought we have come to a situation. I mean, Art Schell was the first black head coach that was hired back in like 1989 by Al Davis. That's 23 years ago. Like, are we really? Excuse me, 33 years ago. 33 years ago. Now we're giving incentives in 2020, in the 21st century? That's bad. That's really bad. I would imagine in down south, which has been separated in the past in places like Alabama and Mississippi due to segregation and racism, I would imagine that they think that this is really bad. It's such a slap in the face to African Americans. And I haven't heard one or read one. I heard one on any of the shows I've hosted or any other shows, or read anything on Twitter of an African American who thinks this is a good idea. And I think the fact that this is out there is almost embarrassing as it is finding out that Roger Goodell allegedly just put the Ray Rice abuse tape in that Atlantic City elevator to his then fiance and now wife Janae, and he just swept it underneath the rug. This is that embarrassing, the way the NFL was with their completely total delayed response on domestic abuse by their players for decades. This is really bad, folks. And I would even venture to say, that probably even the biggest racist would probably find this offensive. Seriously, it's really offensive. It's demeaning. It's degrading. And I think one of the things that spoke for me was not only Michael Wilbon's soundbite that we heard there at the beginning of the intro, but to see how Louis Riddick reacted, and he was trying to maintain his professionalism, but I could tell how uncomfortable he was talking about it when this story got out there. A complete, total embarrassment for the NFL. And if you think you are helping young black assistant coaches or young black assistant GMs or working in the front office scouts, you're doing it all wrong. This is not the way you do something like this at all. And the NFL should be absolutely embarrassed that this is even out there. And they better hope. This thing shouldn't even get voted on. It shouldn't even be put to vote. If it gets put to vote, it tells you how backwards and clueless the NFL really, truly is. So we have that. We have the Blake Snell thing. And the Patriots' lack of demand for tickets on the secondary market, down 39%, a league high. All that on the table. Jason here at the top of next hour. Your phone calls this hour. If you want to get in, now's the time to do it. 617-779-7937. Yeah, it feels like a forced affirmative action for African Americans in the NFL. And it's I can't believe this is happening in the year 2020. Chris in Framingham, thanks for holding and being patient.
My pleasure. Oh, my. I love your show. Look, there's two big things the NFL can fix. First, you look at the two guys who everybody were the hot hires for minorities that were offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs, Robert Saleh of the 49ers. They get screwed because you can't officially hire them or talk to them until the whole postseason is over. By that time, coaches have been hired. They're usually the first or second week. If the NFL wants to do a hiring freeze, you can't hire coaches, you can't talk to interview coaches until after the Super Bowl, no matter what teams you are. The second one, you only have two black offensive coordinators and one black quarterbacks coach of the NFL. All the top coordinators these days, the top coaching candidates are either offensive coordinators, quarterbacks coaches. If the league wants to do something, we're going to try to, maybe get more, young ex-players to coach. But even that's tough because, let's face it, you know this sport better than I do. It's the off season sucks. The days are long. Coaching can't. If you get into coaching, you don't get paid much because assistant to assistant coaches get paid pittance. The best players now, the best African American players who retire, they go to broadcasting. There's no money in college or even in coaching. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think they need to set up a system and do something that gives young African Americans working for NFL teams access to owners because, what they say, Chris, when it comes to it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's not only in the NFL, but that's in life in general. It's connections. And I don't think maybe that a lot of these guys, maybe they're getting passed over because they weren't born into it like Kyle Shanahan or Brian Schottenheimer. That's probably why that they don't have the access. They don't get to do that, but they're still more than qualified to do it. Hey, there's always one complete D-bag, whether it's a caller or a texter. And I was waiting for this texter. And this is there's always one, right? Here's the text. White guy tells people of color how they should feel. So, okay, for that texter, here's Michael Wilbon.
Tony, I'm conflicted here. I mean, I want to say attaboy to the league, the people in the league offices and around the league who look at the situation in 2020 and go, my God, this is awful. We've got to do something. So let me isolate that sentiment that is being felt in multiple quarters around the league and say, yeah, I'm with you there. But Tony, if the league has to do this in 2020, how awful, how pathetic is the NFL? This is sad, Tone, that they would have to incentivize it in such an obvious way that they can't pull themselves together and simply interview and hire qualified black people. Are you serious? What is this, 1947?
Okay, so for the dumbass on the text line, that was Michael Wilbon. Is that good enough for you there, sweetheart? Is that good enough for you? I'm not telling anybody how they should feel. I'm telling you how I feel. And how you react to that is how you want to. I get paid to make opinions on the air. I'm not telling anyone how they should feel at all. But I'm telling you, the NFL, this is a PR embarrassment for the National Football League. There's always one. Now I understand why Mutt turns this freaking thing off. I get it. Because there's always one dumbass that just that texts something that just draws your ire. And he like completely doesn't, cannot comprehend, has some mental block, and they don't listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. It's unbelievable. Maybe I should do that too. Yeah, I'm going to go with Mutt. I'm shutting off the text line for the rest of the day. It's too bad too, because there's like 90% of the texts are great, but there's always the one guy who spoils it for everyone. Bye. Goodbye. Mark in Framingham, you're up next. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, hey. I just wanted to say I agree with the last caller, and I also agree with Mark Wilbon clip that you just
Mike
played.
Mike Wilbon, yep.
Okay, sorry about that. So I also wanted to say that I did text in on the text line, and I feel like I called you a jackass. I hope that's not what made you shut the text line off.
No. It was the guy who said a white person telling people of color how they should feel. And I'm like, I'm not telling anybody how they should feel. I'm just saying that this is bad for the... You heard Michael Wilbon saying it.
Yeah. No, I agree with him. And I just wanted to say, basically, I am mixed race. So I have, white and black in my personality and, you know, the way I think. And I just wanted to say, basically, I think it's a good idea, like Mark said, or Mike Wilbon said, you know, let's not make it so blatant obvious that we're going to be hiring more black people because we want to have more balance in our organizations.
No. He didn't say that. He said the balance is what they are wanting. He's saying that why it looks bad that they're trying to incentivize by saying a team will move up six spots for hiring a minority head coach, move up 10 spots for hiring a minority general manager, and move up 16 if they hire both the same year. That's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
They're making it blatantly obvious that they're going out of their way, and that's an embarrassment to the NFL. But I do believe, like in every office building, every organization, that, you know, you give the jobs to people who maybe you're handing down jobs in some situations, maybe not. But the black people in this country are not getting enough opportunity. And
I agree.
Going out of their way, they're going out of their way. Like I said, in the radio station that you're in, not to knock on WEI, I love the station.
Hold on. Before you go there, we have two men of color on this station, Jermaine Wiggins and Larry Johnson. I can't say about the other station and what they don't have. I know what we have. So before you go anywhere, Mark, let's just say that, you know, we do. And we had Michael Holly here for a very long time. So don't be accusing this station. Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm not accusing him. Okay. I'm just saying, just in as it is everywhere else, you know, I don't think up in the CEOs and the top leadership of, you know, organizations, you don't have a lot of minorities. So I know Jermaine Wiggins is on, but, you know, I don't see any primary host since Mike Holly, which that's when I started to really listen to WEEI.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. How many are on the other station? That would be zero. Zero. So again, I'm just telling you the history of this station. And Larry Johnson has been part of the station for on and off for like 25 plus years. So he's part of it. You know, I mean, hey, again, you know, it is what it is. I'm letting you know. And that's really in general. I would say that's a sports talk radio problem. But don't point fingers at this station for lack of diversity. Do not. Do not. Okay. We will, you know, this station looks a lot more like the UN and a lot less like a country club. Okay. So do not point fingers at this station for lack of diversity. Do not. If we're going to go there, I'm just stating facts here. Okay. Mark and Bill Ricca. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just want to say real quick, I'm glad to speak to what that other guy said earlier. I'm glad you're on Sundays because usually Sundays are a barren wasteland for sports radio, and it's really good to listen to you, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
Thanks for being on. The whole Blake Snell thing, I say it all the time. We do it to ourselves. I mean, I don't follow it. I don't follow baseball. I think these guys are overpaid, but we vote with our wallets. We vote with our pocketbooks. We buy all this stuff, so you can't, at some point, you got to take the blame off of them, put it on us. If they open up Fenway tomorrow, there's going to be 30,000 people looking to get in. People calling in complaining about it with Red Sox caps on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No question. And I think there's a guy who's just completely tone deaf and having a egregious lack of self-awareness to the current state of the nation and the world that's going on right now, Mark. You know, forget about your money. Forget about, you know, right now, this world is going through it. Like, businesses are going, you know, like, even major luxury department stores are filing for bankruptcy. They're saying that when the stores are allowed to open, that the world's oldest department store, Lord & Taylor, is apparently going to go out of business. So, like, this
right,
is,
that's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, they started in, like, 1826. 1826. And I mean, right. Like, this is nuts that this is beyond a player getting his money, you know, and, you know, on the Rona and talking like a complete dumbass.
Oh, 100%. He's a clown.
Oh, my God. Like, Mark, it's one thing that there's always that, like, people, they say the words dumb jock and you laugh and ha ha ha. And not all of them are dumb. We know that. I mean, I know Steph Curry, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, those guys, Jaylen Brown, Chris Paul. These guys are really smart. And they're, you know, but when Blake Snell opens his mouth, he's a dumb jock. He's stupid. I mean, he just sounds like a complete idiot.
I agree. Oh, and I'll leave you with this. The whole Roger Goodell thing, do you think he floated that on purpose in order to get it shot down so he can turn around to the media and say, hey, look, we tried to be woke. We tried to do the right thing. We're trying to do something to get minorities promoted. But, you know, it's a good thing what I'm trying to do. It got shut down. Kind of make it look like they're making an effort.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Mark. And you know what? You could be right. That's a great. I kind of thought it's a good phone call, Mark. Thanks. I kind of thought that could be a situation that maybe he's trying to, you know, sort of overcompensate and go like they got Jay-Z to be in charge of the entertainment. So now it's going to, you know, obviously it's going to be cool and it's going to be, even though Shakira and J-Lo, I mean, yeah, maybe in 2001. I don't know if Shakira and J-Lo, how do you come to my, like, here's my thing about Jay-Z. I would have been better at completely doing the entertainment at Super Bowl 54 in Miami. I would have been better charge of entertainment than Jay-Z. I would have picked Rick Ross and Trick Daddy. Oh, and the godfather of rap, Luther Campbell. How do you go to Miami and not put Uncle Luke on a stage? You put J-Lo and Shakira? How many hits has Shakira had? Like, more than that one hip song. Like, it's kind of like 2002 was a long time ago. It's like Eminem performing at the Oscar Awards this year. Lose Yourself. Yeah, that would have been great in 2002 or maybe 2003. Like, it's kind of 17 years too late. How do you go to Miami and not put Trick Daddy, Rick Ross, and Luther Campbell on a stage? How do you do that? I don't even care if they drop F-bombs. How do you get... That's a slap in the face. I lived in Miami for 5 years. Okay, I used to have Trick Daddy on my show a lot. I've interviewed Luther Campbell. Trick Daddy brought me on stage one time at his show at Janice Live in St. Pete, literally. And I love, like, how do you do that? Like, so if you're going to do it, like, do it right. And you're like, you know, Mr. Hip-Hop, too. How do you not include those guys when you go to Miami? That'd be like, you know, going to Atlanta last year, and at least I think one of the guys from Outkast, Big Boy, was out on the stage, if I'm not mistaken, with the year the Patriots beat the L.A. Rams. I think Big Boy was from Outkast was there. But you got to be kidding me. Like, it's just, I don't know. All I know is that if this thing passes on Tuesday, oh, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my ish Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. I'm praying this thing gets shot down or they don't even vote on it. They will have listened to the court of public opinion and say, no, we can't do this. This is a bad. When you have Michael Wilbon, Louis Riddick, I mean, prominent public figures and men of color coming out and completely panning this. This is like when the president of the United States about 3 years ago said, get those SOBs off the field. And remember, it galvanized the owners and players. They came together. Well, you've galvanized everyone now by this stupid thing. I mean, this is one of the worst ideas in sports history, period. So we'll continue to get that. Also want to get to some Last Dance stuff and how
the correlation between the Bulls of the 90s and the Patriots over the last 20 years, the similarities. Not many differences either. And it all ended because of ego. Ego. And I'm looking forward to Jason Hare coming up at noon. 617-779-7937. Maybe the NFL should worry about their players not getting arrested. Four guys in 4 days. Now it's time for trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Oh, what a classic song. You know, one of the things I loved about The Last Dance is the music that Jason has used. You've heard a lot of old school 90s rap. I Got It Made by Special Ed. I Ain't No Joke by Eric B. and Rakim. It's been really, really good. Really good. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. I'm sure they're going to close out strong tonight, episodes 9 and 10.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
So I know you turned off your text line, but I thought yes. You might find this one humorous.
Okay. Give it to me.
Yeah. Somebody from the... somebody texted in saying, I want to say again, I totally thought Mark James was black all this time. Dead ass serious.
Really? He said that?
That's what the text says, yes.
Okay. Very nice. That's a huge compliment. I will take that as a major compliment. Thank you very much. I am not, but I appreciate that. So I mean always big in the community, and I do appreciate that. Probably more people out there might have thought that than others. That's good. It's good. It's good that the text line got back on track today. Let's go to Owen, who's up next in Westford. Not Westfield. Westford.
Yes, Westford.
Yep.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Wasn't it like years ago when these companies hired black people? It was kind of like reverse discrimination. Isn't that kind of what this is with the NFL?
I don't think it's reverse discrimination. I just think that they're going about it the wrong way. I think that I think the fact what they're trying to do is they're probably their heart's in the right place, but to do this, you've actually insulted and degraded and demeaned them worse than you did to try to promote them.
I agree 100%.
You know,
and about Blake Snell, he's just one of the typical today's athletes that's all green money dollar signs in front of their eyes, and if they perform fine, if they don't, I still want the money.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. He plays in a sport, Owen, where guess what? Contract's guaranteed.
Exactly.
It's like same thing in the NBA. You don't have to worry, like it's not like the NFL where, you know, the only thing that's guaranteed is your signing bonus. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean that's really it. You can sign like a huge deal and this guy signed a 4-year, $84 million deal. What was his signing bonus? $3.5 million. Yeah, that's about what the only thing he's guaranteed to make is the $3.5 million he agreed to.
A little, they're starting to add a little bit more to the guaranteed in the NFL, but you're right. Like, the signing bonus is the main thing that's guaranteed.
That's it. That's it.
Exactly.
Well, and that's why I feel, Owen, thanks for the call. Major League Baseball needs to, I think Rob Manfred needs to talk to Roger Goodell, and I think the 30 owners in Major League Baseball need to meet with the 32 owners in the NFL and they need to get together, and Major League Baseball needs to take, like, the owners need to take control of the sport back. We need to get a salary cap. We need to bust up that union, and we need a major market correction on these contracts. That's what we need to do, because the sport is out of control. These guys, the inmates are running the asylum, and it's never a good thing when that happens. Sean in Merrimack, Mass. What's up, Sean?
Mark James, what's up, kid? Big what's... Eric B. and Rakim fan, my man. Oasis fan, though.
Oh, nice. Oh, God. Well, you and I should go. You and I should go to a concert together if there ever will be concerts in the future.
Listen, on my 45th birthday, I booked a flight for one night to Ireland to see Liam Gallagher play. I had a beer and I bounced, baller style.
Did you really? You went to just to see him, and his brother wasn't with him?
One night. True story. Oh. It was awesome. No, it was just him when he went solo. Oh,
I've seen him play three times in this country, Sean. I saw him in West Palm Beach back in the late 90s. I saw them. Yep. The last time I saw him was in Oakdale, Connecticut at the Oakdale Theater in 2001. And they were amazing. Like, they've been amazing every time I go to see him play. Yep.
The only
thing that pissed me off about it was that they were opening up for the Black Crowes. And I'm like, wait a second. Hold on a second. Joaquin Phoenix and Leonardo DiCaprio don't take a backseat to John C. Reilly in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with this picture?
Google Oasis Live in Brazil. Take a look at that scene. They should not be backing up the Black Crowes. Please.
Oh, my God. Dude, they are, Sean, people, when I bring them up, Sean, and I'm glad we have a lot of smart people here in New England, when I bring them up and the people, like, they come after it, I'm like, listen,
go back to
last 30 years in Musical.ly.
Yeah, savages.
Musical.ly. Savages. Tell me.
Look at Paul McCartney. If Paul McCartney's asking for them to reunite, something's up, okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Sir Paul McCartney, the lead singer of arguably the greatest band of all time, right?
Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters, Texan, Oasis, please get back, please.
Right.
Don't make me educate.
But Sean, you know what the thing I love about him the most? And I know you've seen this. Have you seen the documentary on Netflix, Oasis Supersonic?
Unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
Unreal.
I saw it live in Cambridge. I went to a theater in Cambridge to watch it by myself.
Oh, they are unbelievable.
I had a pack of Juju Bees and a large Sprite.
Amazing. And when they are awesome. I love them so much, and they are everything. They're you. And the thing I love about them, though, they're so dysfunctional. But the part that, like, I don't like about it is that, unfortunately, that it's a dysfunction that has led to them not being able to tour and make millions and millions of dollars.
No, I heard you talk about that a lot, and you kind of reflect on sports about that, and it is very true. They can't get over their own egos, and it's killing everything.
Now, these are my three favorite bands. Sean, appreciate the phone call. These are my three favorite bands in the last 30 years. These are my three favorite. Oasis, Rage Against the Machine, and The Killers. I've seen The Killers three times. I saw them at Mohegan about 4 years ago in the summer of 2016. Oh, they're amazing. I mean, The Killers, like, every time you're there, it's like you're at an actual studio recording. It sounds just like it does on the CD, you know, when people actually bought CDs, you know. 617-779-7937, and, like, with all due respect to Pearl Jam and, you know, Guns N' Roses and Metallica, I'll give you Metallica. Metallica, I could see, but, you know, they're not better musicians than Oasis. They don't sound better than Oasis. I mean, don't get me wrong. Enter Sandman, yes. One of the greatest songs in rock and roll history. But toe-to-toe, song-to-song, come on. And I'll even throw Wonderwall out, because that was commercial. I'll throw Wonderwall away. I don't even need Wonderwall. Same thing with The Killers. The Killers, most of the commercialized hits, most of the ones that didn't get the run nationally, like On Top. Like, those are the ones that are, and Smile Like You Mean It. Those are the ones that are better than the ones that got popularized, like Mr. Brightside and Somebody Told Me, or When You Were Young. So, I was devastated that I think it was next week and I was supposed to be going to Boston Calling to see Rage Against the Machine. And that, of course, is canceled, unfortunately. So we'll get back to your phone calls. Last Dance director Jason Hare at noon. 617-779-7937.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Listen to that voice. Listen to that sound.
Makes me laugh.
I didn't want to sing either, but I can't get help get caught up. I love, oh, they're so great. They're the closest thing that we've had to the Beatles in the last 30 years. They are. And if you don't appreciate them, then you don't appreciate good music. Great music. Great music. Listen, Liam Gallagher, one of the greatest singers of all time. And like the caller we just had in who said, when Sir Paul McCartney, the voice and face of the Fab Four, the Beatles, comes out and said that he needs them to get back together, I rest my case. That's it. They're royalty, man. They're freaking awesome. I love them. I love them so much. I watch Supersonic on Netflix over and over and over again. And God bless Mrs. Gallagher. Can you imagine? Like, I think they're like 4 or 5 years apart, Noel and Liam. Liam's the young one. He's the lead singer. Noel's the bigger brother and the guy who writes all the songs. Can you imagine? Like, that's like, you know, Olivia Manning giving birth to Peyton and Eli. You know, two sons that have a combined 4 Super Bowls. That's amazing. That's like utterly amazing that she did that. Oh, they're just, I'm like, if you know what I'm talking, I mean, they, you know, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, any of them, they blow them all away. All away. Any band that's come out, even Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters are fine. They're good. But like, you know, Dave Grohl even knows how great Oasis is. I think another band that gets overlooked overall is Radiohead. And by the muse, like the critics and the musicians themselves, like Tommy Lee of Motley Crue and so many people love Radiohead. They're one of the greatest bands of all time. So let's grab all these calls, and I want to get in before Jason Hare. Kevin in New Hampshire. What's up, Kevin? 3, 2, 1. Kevin is going, gone. Steve in Fall River's up next. Hey, Steve.
How are you? I know we've been boring. People being bored to tears with graphs and numbers with this COVID-19 scare and, you know, hospitalizations, this, that, the other thing. I want to give you a graph. I need you to, you have to think about it in your head. You've got Patriot Nation supposedly falling off in their interest for the team. And here's how it works. I know it's going to be simplistic. To me, it all starts with the draft. When you have a good draft, you have a good team, and guess what? The interest is good. So if you go back to 1972, you go on drafthistory.com, and you take a peek when the Patriots were a joke, got beat by the perfect Miami Dolphins 56-0 that year. They had a guy come in who started drafting, and he drafted Jim Plunkett and Sam Cunningham and Calhoun and Tim Fox and Mike Haynes, blah, blah, blah. What happened? They became good, and they were very relevant throughout the 70s. Then they had a bunch of bad drafts, and then they went down, and the team was at a very low point before the 85 Super Bowl season.
Yep.
And everyone was surprised because look what was going on. We had the Big Three here. We had the Red Sox in 86, and people were surprised on the scene that, wow, the Patriots, they got a lot of play here because they went to the Super Bowl. Then they went down. And we all know what happened after that. They went down, Bledsoe came in, they went up. But on the baseline of this, you have to look at the drafts that underlined all this. And the point I'm making is the last 5 years of this draft for this team has been bad. So guess what? So is fan interest going to be bad. It's not. You said, I heard yesterday, oh, there'll be a little blip because people are interested in how Brady does versus what Stidman does. I'm talking in 5 or 6 year increments. The arrow is down because the baseline, the draft has been down. And you could tell me about the sports changed and they pass now and this, that, the other thing. It's a quarterback thing. And yes, you have to have a good quarterback. But throughout all this time from the 70s and on, this thing will never change. You have to draft well.
I agree.
Even when you didn't have
and Steve,
remember,
Steve,
you didn't have free agents.
Patrick Brady to bail you out of making pathetic draft day picks. You don't have that anymore. You don't. Jason Hare, coming up next. We will get to him. The director of The Last Dance will join me in just a matter of minutes. The final episodes are tonight on ESPN. Episodes 9 and 10 will be at 9 and 10 tonight here in New England on ESPN. We're going to get in everything. We're going to get to the end of the Patriots dynasty. And I have an idea for him to do. Then what would be now was called The Last Dance. What would be called for the Patriots? Epic. If you did a 10-part documentary on this, you could do 20 years on Brady, Belichick, and the Patriots, because you have the Deflategate, Spygate, 20 years worth. So if you did 10 of Michael, you could do 20 on the Patriots. I have an idea on the name of it. We'll get to Jason Hare next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.